I gave you plenty of scriptures this morning. I want to cut it down tonight just a little bit. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Job. Probably won't keep you real long tonight. But I have a thought I want to share with you. You know, that's something. Preachers always have thoughts. And, you know, that's a good thing. I've got more sermons to preach than I've got time to preach them. And that's not bad. You know, it's a good thing that God keeps giving them to me. So that lets me know I'm not through yet. And, you know, Job was a man that was, of course, it's believed to be the oldest book we have in our Bible. And Job was, the book of Job is a book that is full of questions. Job had questions, his friends had questions. And you know, I never found, until we get to the chapter that I'm reading from tonight, that God ever answered Job's questions. And I've often pondered why. It seemed like Job had all these questions and God just kept silent. And then I got to thinking, probably one of the reasons that God didn't answer his questions is Job wouldn't shut up. You know, there's a message in that alone. If all we're doing is complaining and asking God why and never giving, God's a gentleman. He's not going to interrupt you. There's a time and a place that we need to just sit back and listen and say, God, I'm waiting on an answer. I'm waiting on you to speak to me. I need guidance and I need direction and I need it to come from you. I'm going to shut up now and listen and hear what you have to say. Job is the same writer that wrote that man is born of woman and is a few days and full of trouble. Job had problems that I could never even imagine that if they was to overcome me, what I would do. But when we finally get to chapter 38, and God begins to speak, I want you to notice something. God answers Job's questions with questions. Don't you just love that when somebody answers your question with a question? I'm reminded of the wife and I. Brother Robert, I'll ask her, so where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Well, that's the reason I ask you. But we find here that God asked Job, answers Job's question with a question. Actually, in this verse that I'm looking at tonight, he asked two questions about one thing. He said in verse 16 of chapter 38, "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth?" Now, he asked Job two things that he knew Job did not know the answer to. He knew he didn't know the answer. And matter of fact, you probably didn't know the answer either until just of recently. You see, he's telling him about something that he knows nothing about. He's actually giving him a revelation. There is a source that you cannot see. There's a source that you know nothing about. There is a supply that comes from a place that you don't know even exists. There's strength. There's a source of life. He talks here about the springs. of the sea. That's key in this verse. I begin to look up springs. The Hebrew terminology here is something that is hidden, that burst forth. A spring. We all know what a natural spring is like. We know what we've been to them, no doubt. And we even had one on our property that we used to live on there. It was called the Abbott Springs. It was hewn out of a big rock. And that water was cold coming out of that rock. They had a little groove cut in the rock to another little bowl that they'd cut over there. And from what history tells me and a little bit I got to digging and finding out, they would drink out of the one and put their milk and the butter in the other one. And from that little bowl that it was there that went on down into the creek. And I got a lot of inspiration about that water coming out of the rock. How it was cold and how it was refreshing. But he's talking about here about a spring that Job knew nothing about. Springs of the sea. Matter of fact, it wasn't until the year of 1977, in depths of over 8,000 feet. Just for reference, that's over 18,500 pounds of pressure. At the bottom, the agnostics and the atheists, where they would say, well, look here, that this is written in the Bible about springs in the sea, and there's no such thing until 1977. You know how old the book of Job is. I believe the God of heaven that created this universe knew what he was creating before he ever wrote it down. Science just goes back to prove once again that the Bible is true. God's word is true. Job did not have the technology or the knowledge that we have in modern day today. But God did. Job, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Hast thou walked in the search of the depth? The springs was discovered in 1977. They are a hydrothermal vents, is the scientific name. And you know, the deeper that you go, I learned this in scuba diving. The deeper you go, the darker it gets. 8,000 feet. That is deep. It's like small little geysers that are bursting up. It happens when the cold seawater seeps into the ocean's crust, and it causes the crust to break open and burst forth. They can reach temperatures of up to 650 degrees. So I want you to understand that something that is very cold reacts with something that is very hot, and something bursts forth. There is an eruption. There's an explosion. It does not occur until the cold meets the hot. Bear with me. I'm going somewhere. That made me to begin to wonder, why did God put that? Why did he put that there? And I wrote this down. When you get deep enough, you have no light. If you have no light, you have no sunlight. You have no life. If you have no light, you have no photosynthesis. If you have no photosynthesis, you have no energy. But God says, I'm willing to do something that operates by chemosynthesis. I'm going to cause something that will happen in the deepest, darkest place that will cause life to happen. When the cold meets the hot, a reaction takes place, and where there was no life, there is now life. You may feel cold, and you may feel empty, but you can find yourself in the presence of the warmth of the Holy Ghost and the fire that touches your body, and you'll find life and you'll find energy that you can find nowhere else. We're getting ready to start revival. He's talking about the depths of the sea. I know that, some of you are in a dark place right now. Sister Anita just got up and started testifying about the last 5 years of how rough it's been. And I know you have some sorrow, and I know you've had a tough few years and few weeks, but God has allowed in the darkest of time, in the darkest of places, for His grace and His glory to bubble up. Amen. And the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost has given life through all the darkness. He asked two questions in one verse. Man, he says, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? There's only one way that you can experience this. And it's not by troubles, and it's not by trials. A lot of people get sick. A lot of people face death. There's a lot of people that have lost their jobs. A lot of people find themselves facing hard times. You're not going to find it by just going, just because that you're going through a dark place. He said you have to search for it. The deep does not search for us. We search for the deep. I'm going to get myself in trouble again tonight. But I believe that it's possible to be saved and be a Christian for 50 years and never get out of the shallow water. Are you understanding me? We get older, we get complacent, and we think that there's no, God doesn't have anything for us. You have to search for it. These young people have gotten in, but you know what? They didn't just stumble across it. They had to search for it. They had to seek for it. There's a fountain flowing deep within. Just because you're in a lively church does not mean that the depth is going to find you. If you want to find depth, you have to search. Nobody finds it by accident. I'm trying to get us ready for revival. There is something about life in dark places. Does anybody here want to go deeper? I do. I need to go deeper. The question came to my mind, why do we get all dressed up for a Sunday morning service and come to church and just sit there? Amen? I come to worship. I come to get in. I come to get deeper. Well, why is life so important in the depth? Here it is. Are you ready for it? I won't be much longer tonight. So listen and pay attention. If those mineral-rich waters were not flowing, and the bacteria was not feeding off of it, it would not give life. Well, why is life so important? Because there are some fish and other aquatic animals that are determined to go deeper. There's going to be some in the church that's going to be determined to go deeper. They go where other fish won't go. There's two things that happen when fish go deeper. You'll find out, number one, that fish become translucent. They become see-through. If you want to go deeper, you've got to get clean before God. You can't hang on to this world and go deeper. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to give up. There's going to be some sacrifices that you're going to have to make. You're going to have to purpose in your heart and your mind that I'm going to put God first. They teach us a few things in diving, and one of the things that they teach us is you better trust and know your equipment. You can't go deeper if you don't have faith. You better look things over. You better know that Lord, I am honest. I am open before you. When we get deeper, we will clean ourselves up. We will ask God to examine us, ask God to inspect us. Are there anything in there, Lord, that should not be? Take it out, Lord, and clean me. Make me pure. Make me whole. If you're going to get deeper, you got to be translucent, open before God. The second thing that happens whenever fish go deeper is they get transparent. The enemy cannot find them. You know, there is a possibility of going deep enough that the enemy cannot find you. You can walk, get to the place you walk close enough with God that the enemy cannot touch you. The problem is we want to hang on to the world. You know what the New Testament teaches us? He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Not any. We need to go deeper. And when we go deeper, we'll find life that this world knows nothing about. Hydrothermal geysers that are bubbling up from the depths of the sea. God gave Job an answer in the midst of all of his problems. There is life if you go deeper. I think all of us can go deeper. I've done my best tonight. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord a while around these altars. I know for one, I need to go deeper.